Well, with our Bibles open to Luke chapter 17, let's read a very familiar section there, beginning with verse 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. I want to speak today on the subject of thanksgiving or being thankful. The story is told of a businessman who took an Indian chief, an old Indian Christian, out to lunch. And as the food was brought to them in the restaurant, the man began immediately to eat the food while the Indian bowed his head and thanked the Lord for the food. And as he raised himself up from bowing in thanksgiving, he asked the man if he was not thankful for his food, or did he always just eat without giving thanks. And the man said, well, he just never gave much thought to it. The Indian very clearly said to him, you know, says, a person who doesn't thank God for his food reminds me of a pig or a hog under a chestnut tree. Says he's always eating the chestnuts, but he never looks up to see where they came from. Well, that's pretty blunt, and that's pretty true. And I imagine that the man got the message, as he was indirectly compared to a pig. And yet, I suppose that that characterizes most people today. And sadly enough, some Christians may fall into that category. So I want to look at the subject today of thanksgiving, not so much from an act that will follow, that's involved, but as a way of life, or as a characteristic of our lives. For thankfulness, gratitude is an attitude of heart. And it ought always to prevail in the life of a believer. There is so much said in the scriptures about thanksgiving that I believe it's extremely important. It's important to God. And I hope that as we look at some of these scriptures today, that we will be searching our own hearts to see if we are as thankful as we ought to be and why. Why is it that we are not thankful? Why is it that a person would not offer thanks for things, whether it is from God or from individuals? We might say that one of the reasons that a person is unthankful is that not only is he ignorant of the importance of thanksgiving, But very likely, it's because he's full of pride. He's full of pride. I think pride will keep us from being thankful. Pride, a person who is filled with pride, feels very much self-sufficient. He feels great. He doesn't really feel that he needs anything or anyone. So if he receives something, he deserves it. He ought to have it. So why should he be thankful? We like to think of ourselves as either being self-sufficient or we deserve whatever we get. Quite often, that's the case. Unthankfulness is not only a result of ignorance, that is, that we overlook. We become accustomed to overlooking things and therefore do not really recognize them with a thankful heart. But that we not only are ignorant, but we are willful. We choose not to be thankful. And in the scriptures, from this illustration that our Lord has given us, this is a dreadful sin. Unthankfulness is a sin. It is a failure to acknowledge with a grateful heart something that has been done. And actually, it is God to whom all thanksgiving belongs. What is our doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I like that. I like that. I think it's a testimony to every audience that hears that blessed song. First of all, I would like for us to notice that the Lord Jesus himself not only taught on the subject of thanksgiving, but we will notice that the Lord Jesus lived out every subject that he ever taught. Whatever the Lord Jesus taught, he lived it out or gave an illustration of it. So let us notice in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, where our Lord, before he gives food to the 4,000 people gathered here, that he offers thanks. Let us look in Matthew chapter 15. In this particular case, we notice that there was a multitude there, 4,000 people, and they had no food. And in verse 34, Jesus asked or said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "We have 7 and a few little fish." So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And then he goes on to describe how that they were fed. But we notice that first of all, the Lord Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks for the 7 loaves and the few small fish. Now, what would 7 loaves, and we're talking, the loaves that we're talking about there were probably about the size of a good-sized bun. 7 of those and a few small fish to feed 4,000. Well, it hardly seems an appropriate thing to give thanks in this situation. What are these among so many? What a lesson here, a number of lessons we get here. One of the lessons we see is that whatever God gives, whatever he supplies, and in this case it seems so little, 7 loaves, and with such a great task and such a great number of people, yet the Lord Jesus himself gave thanks. Well, he knew he would multiply this. Of course, he knew what it was all about, of course. But yet he gave thanks. He gave thanks for so little. And sometimes I think that we, because we think we have so little, don't bother to give thanks for it. If it was something great, we would be more thankful. In other words, our gratitude seems to come from how big the gift is. If the gift is very big, we're very grateful. If the gift is very small, then sometimes we don't even bother to offer thanks for it. You see, thanksgiving comes from the right attitude. It's an attitude. And that's what we want to look at. Our Lord would not give out so little without first offering thanks for this. Of course, we know that He fed the 5,000. And when we turn over to John chapter 6, we see that the Lord here feeds 5,000. Now, we can't judge by the amount and about numbers because it's in this case, it seems that the Lord's not consistent. That is, He fed 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fish. Here He feeds 5,000 with how many loaves? Well, let's see what they have. In verse 9, they bring this lad to Jesus, said, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these among so many? It's so little. But yet with 5 loaves and 2 fish, remember the Lord fed 5,000 people, and He took up how many baskets were left over? Well, we're told in verse 13 that there were 12 baskets, one for each one of the disciples to go around and pick it up. But you notice that in verse 11 it says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to His disciples." Our Lord not only taught about thanksgiving, He gave us an example of a grateful heart. Here He is, the Creator of heaven and earth, who could turn the stones to be made bread, who could call up a fish out of the sea, who owned the cattle on the 1,000 hills, yet would receive so small amount, and yet would pause to offer thanks to His Father for them. Our Lord had a grateful heart. That's just like God, isn't it? That's a part of, it seems a part of His character, His nature. It's displayed here in the person of the Lord Jesus. He Himself gives us a wonderful example and picture here of thanksgiving. Now let's turn once again to, well, while we're there in John, let's turn over to chapter 11. John chapter 11. And look at verse 41. Here's a very sad occasion. Lazarus, his dear friend, had died and was in the tomb, had been there 4 days. And verse 40 says, "And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank You that You heard me.'" Here the Lord lifts up His eyes to the Father because He was grateful that the Lord, His Father, had heard Him. And He says, "I thank You that You have heard me." What a beautiful picture of one who had all power pausing to thank the Father that He heard him. Now, here again, our Lord gives us a picture of an attitude. An attitude of constant praise and thanksgiving. You see, the Lord Jesus is concerned for the glory of the Father. He came to give a display of the glory of God His Father. And He was constantly aware of the fact that His Father ought to receive all honor and glory and praise. And in this case, He tells Martha, "Did I not tell you or say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And they saw it.
And our Lord was grateful. You see, God is glorified in thanksgiving. Why? Because we attribute to Him. We attribute to Him the power and the generosity of all that we receive. And this is what God delights in. Why does God do so much for people? Because He wants Himself to be glorified. It gives God great delight to show forth the wonders of His power, of His mercy, and His grace. It is a glory and honor to Him when anyone will bow before Him and say, I thank You, Father, that You did this or that. So again, we go back to the picture of the 10 lepers. If you will just turn back there just for a moment, there's a little key here to this. In Luke, turn back to Luke chapter 17. Notice in verse 18, well, verse 17 really, where Jesus answered and said, where, or were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who return to what? To give glory to God except this foreigner? Were there not any who, now notice he didn't say who came back to give thanksgiving, did he? He said, were there not any who came back to give God glory? Well, notice that these are combined. That is, there is a definite association between thanksgiving and glory to God. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice. What did he do? He glorified God. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and gave Him thanks. God is glorified. And isn't that the ultimate end of our very purpose in being? To glorify God. And if we do not bring thanks to God, we're really taking away from His glory. We are ignoring that which belongs to Him. It's no wonder that God is greatly disturbed when we are unthankful. When people do not pause to give Him thanks. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And here the apostle gives a dreadful picture of the fall of man. Beginning with verse 18, Paul says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Why is God so upset? Why is His wrath revealed? Well, here it is. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. But what did man do? Well, God had even shown through the creation His everlasting power and Godhead, we read in verse 20. But verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. They were not thankful. So what happened? They became futile or vain in their thoughts and their reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and of birds and a four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and so on. God gave them up. God gave them up. You see, when man fails to recognize God and all that He is, not only just that He gives us daily bread, but His mercy, His loving kindness, as well as all of His benefits. You see, when man forgets that, then he's turning his thoughts inward. He's only concerned about himself. He's ungrateful because he thinks what he gets he deserves, or he got it all on his own. And there are so many in this country today that, well, why should we thank God for the food? I went out and raised it. You see, I went out and grew it. Why should I thank God for the water? Pumped it out of the lake. Pumped it out. I put the well down there. You know, I made the pump. Well, why should I bother to thank God for it? Well, this is the kind of attitude that leaves God out of the picture, and God will not stand for that. God of heaven and earth will not be ignored. But that's what's happening even in our day. If we just briefly turn back to Leviticus chapter 7 and take a look here at the various offerings and the sacrifices that God commanded Israel to give, there was one that was called a thank offering. Let's just look at a couple of verses here. Beginning with verse 11, it says, "This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. And besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering." We're not going to go into details of that particular offering and so on. But here we see back there, God instituted among these offerings a sacrifice to be recognized as one of thanksgiving, one of appreciation, one of gratitude unto God. And so this Israel had before them continually. And the psalmist, well, let's notice what David said here in Psalm 107. And verse 22, the psalmist says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." What were these sacrifices doing? These sacrifices of thanksgiving were accompanied with a proclamation, a declaration of the works of the Lord, of his glories. And it says, "And declare his works with rejoicing," with great rejoicing. Hearts filled with gratitude. Our Lord Jesus, then, gave us an example of a grateful heart. We find much in the scriptures that teach us about thanksgiving. If we turn to 2 Corinthians, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said, as he looks unto God, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I believe the King James Version says his unspeakable gift. That's good. Unspeakable. Indescribable. How can you properly describe God's gift to us, his Son? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, how often do we thank God for his unspeakable gift? Paul tells us that we ought to. So we find it in the example of the Lord Jesus. We find it illustrated in his healing of the leper and discussion with the leper who came back. And now we find it carried on by the apostle, who first of all here we see says, "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift." Now, I'm sure that you have noticed in the Apostle Paul's writings, that almost in every one of his epistles, that he's always thanking God for the people. He was always a man of a grateful heart. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, where he tells these Colossians to be thankful. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the apostle says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Be a thankful people. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. Not just occasionally when something big happens in your life. Pause to thank God for it. But to thank God for everything. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what he tells the Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You want to know what the will of God is? Lee Sherrill said that was the key. That was the theme of that little conference last weekend. Knowing the will of God. How can we know the will of God? This tells us what the will of God is. We can find it right in the Word, spelled out. Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." It is the will of God that we be a thankful people. That we are a thankful people. So he says, "In everything give thanks." But you say, "Well, now wait a minute. Maybe we need to qualify that. Can we be thankful for everything?" Some things that come our way in our lives are not too pleasant. We have some difficulties. As a matter of fact, there may be business failures, something that big. A person may lose his job. Can a person be thankful for these kind of things? Well, he doesn't seem to add an appendix here. He doesn't seem to make any qualifications here. He just says, "In everything, give thanks." Well, I believe he means everything, because out of everything, I'm sure, if we were really to take God at his word and believe him for this, that he has a good purpose, a divine and holy purpose in all things. You see, it's going to bring glory and honor to him. I couldn't help but notice, the other night as I talked with Harold Morris, we were talking about the prison ministry and so on, how the Lord was just blessing and supplying the needs and so on. And he said something to the effect that says, "You know, we have a great God, don't we?" But he said, "You know, this is one of the hardest things for us to do, is trust God for this." He says to believe that God can and will do what we need. And he says, "You know, it's been a long, difficult time in my life to come to the place where he realized that God was actually working good out of everything in his life. And to be able to commit ourselves to him in difficulties, and few of us have had the problems that Harold Morris has had." But he says, "In everything give thanks." In Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to close with these verses. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing out of a grateful heart himself. He was always thankful to God. And in verse 20 he says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, how could a man like Harold Morris thank God for being in prison? And yet he knows that this is what it took to really bring him to a place where he could be used of God. How could Paul and Silas be singing and praising God in prison with their backs bleeding? I can't see myself being very thankful in that situation, can you? Now, I can see myself complaining. I can see myself reflecting upon all that I don't deserve. But it'd be a person would have to really see beyond these sufferings to the glory of God to have a thankful heart. And that's the reason that I mentioned this morning at the Lord's Supper. That it seems so impossible for us to be thankful as our Lord was thankful. We're thankful as we come around the Lord's Supper and we thank God for the emblems, for the loaf and for the cup. Because we're the recipients of all the blessings and the benefits of His death at Calvary. But why was He thankful? When He, on that night of His betrayal, that night at the supper, how could He take that loaf and break it and thank God for it? How could He take that cup which represents His life poured out, His blood shed? How could He be thankful for that? Well, when I view that, I think now I can begin to see a little bit of what He means in being thankful for all things. Because He is indeed working. And it is my puny faith that fails to lay hold of that. It's my puny faith then that causes me to grumble and complain and murmur under the heavy load. There were other occasions when our Lord was thankful. In Matthew 11, we won't turn to it. But on one occasion He said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them unto babes. What we're talking about today in the matter of thanksgiving is not something that the world would really enjoy talking about. Oh, they're thankful to friends for this and that, but you won't find one of them thankful for the disappointments. The world may feel grateful to a certain degree when good things happen to them. But with the Christian, who is concerned for the glory of God, he's going to come before God and say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that in this situation, or in these circumstances, God, that your power is going to be made manifest. Your glory is going to shine through. And you're going to be honored in all of this. And I think that was a part of what was behind our Lord's grateful attitude when He broke that loaf that night and took that cup. He saw how His Father would be glorified at the redemption of sinners. Because we read in the Scriptures that even the heavens, the angels in heaven themselves rejoice. Heaven rings out with the joy of angels, with the praise of angels, when even one sinner repents and one comes to know the Lord. That's glory to God. It's no wonder then that our Savior, in knowing what honor would be brought, what glory would be brought into the Father, that He could take that cup and that He could offer thanks for it and say, this is a cup, my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. He saw the redemption in view. Yes, thanksgiving is an attitude. So instead of saying that we are going to live, we're just going to have grateful hearts, well, let's say that we're going to have an attitude of, well, instead of thanksgiving, let's say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Living with a heart filled with gratitude and praise unto our God. We ought to praise Him and thank Him continually for His redemption. Not just for the material blessings, but for all the spiritual blessings. And as the Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. Shall we close in prayer? Now, Father in heaven, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself up for us. We're thankful that He introduced us unto the Father.
and through himself revealed something of the glories, the excellencies, the attributes of our God and Father. We thank you that he is that perfect picture of all that the Godhead is. So we, as we bow to thank you for the redemption that is in him, we would thank you too for the privilege that's ours to be a member of the body of Christ, and that we have the privilege to serve our risen, glorified, coming again Savior. We pray that, Lord, you'll give us a heart of gratitude, that we might recognize all things, little things, all the details that we possibly can of what you have done for us, and that we might just go from day to day with hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise. And we know this will be the cure for many of our ills, many of the problems that we have. So again, we thank you for your word and for all that it teaches us about this important subject of thanksgiving. We pray that you'll help us to live up to the instructions we have in the word on this subject. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen.